Well, once again, I am here at the 12th Annual Animal Ag Alliance Stakeholder Summit in beautiful Washington, D.C., and standing in front of me is Dallas Hockman, Vice President of Industry Relations for the National Pork Producers Council. Dallas, tell me a little bit about your role within PPC.
Well, first of all, my responsibilities deal in getting the message out, not only to our producers, legislators, regulators, and that, but as well as reaching out to the channels in the marketplace, working with food service and retail, any of the influencing side, as well as media in this, of talking just about the current issues that's going on in the industry, what we're doing about it as an organization, and then more importantly, how do we get our story out and telling the great story of responsible pork production.
Well, today, as a speaker, your topic was the value of communications throughout the food chain, and you highlighted a lot on what you guys are doing to promote pork and some of the issues you guys are facing. Kind of hit the highlights on that.
Well, it's no surprise to your listeners out there, and especially pork producers, that our industry is under significant challenge, being attacked and stereotyped as factory farms. We don't really care. Overuse of antibiotics, whatever it may be. And so we have embarked on an effort to reach out to especially our retail and food service channel partners, of talking to them about the great job that the industry is doing. We've gone through a complete analysis of the risks that our industry is facing as it relates to upcoming issues, whether that be on pain management, euthanasia, use of antibiotics, or whatever they may be. And having these meetings with our customers and talking to them about it, talking about that, all the resources that we've had available, and more importantly, providing them, a good resource that in the event they have questions on these issues. And so not unlike 25 years ago when the pork industry was facing a challenge of a misconception of our product, that it was fatty and healthy, and we embarked on a journey then of pork the other white meat and really starting to tell a different story. We face that same challenge today, except now the story is about how the pork is produced, how we raise, and what we're doing with it.
You talked about influencers and who those influencers are and how you came to that determine who are they and how do we market to them, how do we educate them?
Well, when we talk about influencers, we're primarily talking about decision makers. Those are either the policy makers, that whether they be legislative or regulatory, both state and federal, and as well as those decision makers within our channel partners, retail, food service operators, that's making purchase decisions that ultimately signal both down the chain to producers and up the chain to the consumers about what is going on. Recently, as many of your listeners know, we've had a lot of food service companies and retailers make announcements in relationship to sow housing. That was really a wake-up call for us when all of a sudden a customer is making a decision about a production practice that they fully didn't understand or the ramifications of that. So now as we're in there having those discussions with our key customers, whether it be with a key retailer such as Walmart or a fast food chain or a food service restaurant, talking to them about the implications of these, what ultimately it means on the impact to our producers financially, and then just the supply chain management, where's the industry at, and more importantly, why we're choosing to do the practice we are, with in this case on sow housing. We're all about choice. If just with our producers have the right to choose, we believe that the marketplace has the right to offer different products. We just don't want it pushed or mandated on the whole supply chain. So if consumer wants to buy a product and pay more for it, that's great. It creates opportunity and value for our producers. So we're on a fast break campaign meeting with the top 40 food chain partners, talking to them about our research they have available, the information on these issues, and more importantly, what we think of as what's next on the radar screen. We can't wait. We got surprised in this case when all of a sudden, McDonald's makes an announcement. Then we were reeling with, what do we do about this? We have to be more proactive, getting in front of them and talking about all of the other issues that we know is on the activist agenda.
You guys at the National Pork Producers Council have done a lot, and one of the things that we talked about today was transparency. How has NPPC focused on transparency to kind of you talked about consumer's choice, and one of those choices is they want to see those things. Has that affected you yet? Or are you, what are you guys doing to combat that if it has?
First of all, we're doing a risk analysis and actually talking about all the risks that we see on the horizon, whether that be pain management such as castration, tail docking, and going in and talking about that our customers aren't asking about us yet, but explaining the rationale of why we do them, the implications of it. We're really aggressively trying to get our producers to open their farms up. We're having lots of farm tours, bringing our customers to the farms, showing them, you know, on-farm experience, not only first and foremost meeting the individuals that's responsible for taking care of the animals and raising this, but seeing that in action. And so that's one part of the transparency we're at. Secondly is we're going in there, and currently we're engaged in consumer research and message testing where we talk to focus groups about these practices. Sometimes they don't like what it is that we say. We have to figure out different terminology to explain the production practices and how we can have a comfort level. We're doing lots of things in the regards to, currently we have our porkcares.org website where we have videos on there showing all of these production practices. You want to see how an animal is that castrated? You can actually go on there and watch it. You want to see how tails are clipped? You want to see the birthing process? We need to show this stuff to people to say we're not afraid of it. This is the way it's done. More importantly, this is the way it should be done. Here's our codes of practice, our best management support. We're asking our customers, in this case, to support our programs such as Pork Quality Assurance or PQA Plus, and saying, look, make sure your suppliers that are supplying you product are doing this, that they're requiring it of the producers. We have it put in place, for example, an animal care review panel, so that, which is made up of third-party experts such as veterinarians, animal scientists, animal behaviorists, that in the event of a video comes and is taken to a key customer, we get them notified immediately, and within 24 hours, they can have a response back from this panel that says, no, there was no animal abuse, or yes, there was, and these are the things that we think need to be done to correct that action. So we can provide a response back to, you know, our customers on a quick, short-term basis.
You talked about creating door-opening content. What do you mean by door-opening, and what kind type of content have you put into place to kind of create that?
Well, first of all, it's an understanding that today, companies, whether they be retail or food service, is operating under a risk management analysis. We only have to look back to, you know, a short time frame ago, a year ago, when the LFTB, the lean, fine textured beef, hit. It caught our customers, in this case retail, completely off guard. They didn't know what to do with it. We weren't prepared, not we being the pork industry, but the ag sector, to deal with that. So it's fresh in their mind. So when we go in there now and talk to them, door openers is, hey guys, we want to talk to you about the potential next risk that you may be faced as a company, and we're prepared to have the information available for you to explain the rationale of why we do it, the research behind it, the economic impact that might happen in the event you choose not to do it. Here's our carbon footprint data. And then here's short recaps. Here's the message points that says when someone asks you about this subject, how you can explain it. They're all interested right now in risk prevention. So it's a little bit of this thing that says, while it's not on the radar screen now, they want to have that assurance that in the event it comes up, mm-hmm. we're prepared to ask about it. So, yes, we're capitalizing on a challenge we had before. For us, it was H1N1, mm-hmm. you know, which was a few years ago. The beef industry had the LFTB. And they're reeling from that now because they recognize that some of the decisions they made, the knee-jerk reaction, was probably not the right decision. It's cost them business. It's cost their consumers more money. And we actually see some of them beginning to migrate back to that, which is a good thing. Migrate back to the product, I should say. Mm-hmm. So for us right now, we're capitalizing on the moment that says while these groups are in this risk assessment mode, they're more willing to talk to us because of that process.
Well, thank you, Dallas, for coming here and sharing what the pork industry is doing to educate consumers and ensure a wholesome, nutritious safe product for consumers across the world. Once again, talking with Dallas Hochman with the National Pork Producers Council here at Animal Ag Alliance Stakeholder Summit here in Washington, D.C. I am Jamie Johansson.